Chris Ronchi, Amy Marks-Kors, The Chris and Amy Show on 104.1 FM, KMOX.
Michael Kelly, Amy Marks-Kors with you on a Friday. Final hour of the show already. Insane. Well, Michael, everybody's moving.
Yeah, Ron just taking the day off today.
He's moving today. I moved yesterday.
And you did it yesterday? You didn't have to take a day off to do it, did you?
No, here's the thing. And Matthew over here also moved. But if you were to listen to us in the office, you would think that Ronj is the only one moving.
Oh, sure. Yeah, Ronj doesn't look like he takes disruption or change well.
He's not a big disruptor.
Gotta take off work. Somehow 2 days off work.
I got a con three of my friends into carrying all my stuff for me.
Not only did I work, I went to the ball game and I moved. Yesterday.
Did you really?
Yeah, I had the show. We went to the ball game. And then I had my big movers yesterday. So last night was my first night in my new house. I was moving. Because there was an overlap between my apartment and my house, I was moving stuff every night after work, like for the past 10 days.
Fill up a trunk.
A couple people that in my, building who saw me moving for 10 days, they're like, oh my gosh, you have so much stuff. You know, are you a hoarder? Like, how did you fit all of that in your studio? And I'm not a hoarder. I am just weak. And what I mean is I had to take a lot of trips.
Yeah, small boxes.
Yes, I'm so weak. I'm like, carrying.
You're not weak.
I'm pretty weak.
No, but you're not going to be carrying 50-pound boxes.
Yeah, yeah.
Is Ronji a hoarder? Has anybody ever been to the Ronji lair?
No.
Gotten out? No.
I've picked them up. I've dropped them off.
Have you really?
He's never said, hey, you want to come up to the Ronji lair? I tried to invite him to my house. Like, come on in. I wonder, do you guys think it's got, natural lighting in there? Or do you think
I don't think there's no lights, no windows or anything.
You think it's got, one of those lava lamps in the corner that's on
24/7? No, I have no idea.
And who helps Ronji move? Do you think he became an adult like the real people and hired a mover, or do you think he's still conning his buddies?
No, I don't think.
I think he said movers.
He's got movers.
Good.
Yeah, yeah.
You had movers.
A lot myself. Yep. And then I had movers. My dad helped and was there with me and the movers yesterday, partly because he loves to do it. He can't.
Your dad loves you.
He loves me.
Dad's not going to leave you out there in the cold on your own.
Yes. Yeah. So my dad did a ton. But as far as moving furniture, I mean, that was all the movers.
That's
two
men in a truck, baby.
That's what you need. Can I just give a shout out to two men in a truck?
Yep.
The best moving service ever. We've used them several times. They were amazing.
Yeah.
Is that who you use?
I'm a minimalist, so I don't have stuff. And when I moved this last time, I literally sold all my furniture and sold everything. I only took my clothes. So I bought new furniture, and as you know, there's not much there. But I have been the mover my entire life, having five sisters, six of us.
Yeah.
They've moved. I've moved them out of colleges. I've moved them out of houses, boyfriend houses.
Oh, man.
Divorce houses. You know how it goes.
That's a lot.
It's a lot of moving, I hate moving.
And it's weird how...
I'd rather pay for your mover than help you move.
Yes. Oh, moving is the worst. And what's crazy is, I know they say that matter can neither be created nor destroyed. That's not true.
Right.
Somehow wherever you live, matter's created. You can be a minimalist and still say, where did all this stuff come from?
Now, moving does posit that opportunity for you to really pare back.
Yeah.
Some people wind up adding. I have a buddy of mine who got three couches when he went and got a new house.
Can you imagine what kind of
ridiculous
psychopath?
Who would do that?
Who would have three couches?
I bet he keeps his fingernail clippings, too.
I'll do that.
In the couches.
But he's got three couches. But usually moving's an opportunity to be gosh, we can get rid of all this stuff. Did you do that?
So I got rid of... Now, this was not at my studio. This was at my parents' house because when I moved into the studio, I didn't have room. I got rid of 10 bags of clothes that I gave to Goodwill. I don't know where they came from. Now, a lot of them, because they had been at my parents' house, were just old. Uh-huh. Stuff that I had when I was 20. That was good stuff, but I got rid of 10 bags of clothes. I think most of my stuff, 90% of my literal stuff, books.
Wow. Wow.
Which are heavy. And so I am converting one of my closets to a bookshelf.
Nice.
Multiple bookshelves because I have so many books and I love my books.
Did you pare back any of your books? Like,
no.
Okay, I'm going to keep the ones that truly have meaning to me, but this one I got because I interviewed the author that I never
read.
So
I don't keep any of those books if it's not an author that I actually like. So all of the books I have are my pared back books, believe it or not.
Really?
Yeah.
How many books do you rip through a week?
Oh, not a week, unless with this job, but I'm always reading three books, like a nonfiction, political nonfiction, history, or religious, or whatever, and then I try to read a fiction one for fun, like Charles Dickens is my
really?
Favorite author, yeah.
When
fun.
You're rotating three books at the same time.
They're so different, it's easy.
Do you have to force yourself to be like, I'm not going back to the murder mystery, I really need to read about Ted Cruz's whatever.
Here's, I'm not reading anything about Ted Cruz.
Ditto.
I know everything about Ted Cruz. Right now I have a book that I'm reading. It's called The Brilliant Disaster.
Uh-huh.
It's about the Bay of Pigs. So it's JFK and the Bay of Pigs, right? And Fidel Castro. So that's very easy to compartmentalize.
Sounds like nearly every relationship I've been in. Beautiful disaster.
One of my favorite author is Tim Keller, The Reason for God. I've read it a gazillion times and I love it. I'm reading that. And then I also bought a book on the partition of India and Pakistan and the history of that with
That's
everything going
boring.
It's really interesting.
That's boring.
No, it's so interesting.
Come on.
So those are the three books I'm reading now.
But that's not something you're going to bring up in coffee talk conversation with people like, hey, I want to talk to you about what's going on between Pakistan and
group.
Really?
Well, that's why I bought it, because multiple friends of mine are from India.
But the meaning of God, right? Was that what it was?
The Reason for God.
The Reason for God. I mean, that's coffee book. That's coffee talk.
It's just, Tim Keller's really good. And then The Bay of Pigs is just very interesting. Government has always it's always kind of interesting how sketchy everybody is.
Do you jump into, we all know you are infamous for your Hallmark and your more, shall we say, subdued
love
G-rated. Stories, G-rated. What about a novel? If there's a little bit of nudity or some type of sexual activity, does that irritate you in the same way?
Well, but there's
really?
Very little of that because most of what I read, my favorite genre is 19th century Victorian literature,
mm-hmm.
which for them, scandal was showing ankle. So
seriously,
yeah.
So you don't get into a book like The Firm or something where maybe
well, I've
you
seen
know,
the movie The Firm.
No, but I mean, I just think that's interesting that even you know the love stories that you read wouldn't have that. You're not a love story kind of person.
I don't read a lot of love stories.
But how did you? So what happened to you that you're into this Hallmark stuff?
Well,
because
it's the mystery.
It doesn't show up in anywhere other part of your life.
I don't watch as many regular Hallmark movies. I watch the movies and mysteries, which is Murder, She Baked.
Murder, She
the
Baked.
The Curious Caterer mysteries.
Yeah.
At any rate, so we did move. I heard, listen to this.
She would like me to quit interrupting her.
No. I think people are bored. Enough about Amy. Get back to Ted Cruz.
Can we get back to Charles Dickens, please?
Can we please? I told you, when our boss Steve hired me, the one rule he gave me is I wasn't allowed to talk about poetry.
Really?
Okay, yeah.
There should have been more rules.
There should have been way more rules, way more parameters. But, so I was talking to my friend Gregory today.
That's his name, Craig?
Yeah.
Craig-ery.
Gregory, yeah. So, Gregory... We were talking about moving, and he moved his mom, right?
Okay.
He takes care of his mom, much like Ranji. I know
right,
you're
sure.
always taking care of your mom, but Gregory takes care of his mom. She moved into a condo on the 10th floor with no freight elevator.
What?
Just regular elevators, and her couch didn't fit in the regular elevator. So
guess what, mom?
Guess who carried the couch 10 floors up.
Gregory did?
Gregory and his friend, or his brother, I should say.
Mm-mm. I would have said, Mom, guess what? We're getting a new couch. It's going to be a little smaller, and some guys are going to deliver it.
Listen, we love hearing from you, 314-436-7900. If you have moved a couch more than 10 floors, I would like to hear about it, because
totally.
To me, that's a record.
Or if you have more than three couches in one room.
Or if you have more than three couches, this
because
is the couch
that's gotta
show.
That's got to be as obscure as somebody who would carry a couch 10 stories.
I agree.
Yeah.
Because there is someone that we know. His name rhymes with Rat
His
Majesty.
Family room sounds like it's romper room. You just get in there and jump
Guess
around
what,
on the couches.
He moves his couches into different rooms and names them his parlor.
Yeah.
Was he playing like Tetris with his couches?
I tried to for a bit. And in the moving van. It was tough to get them all in the moving van.
So anyway, this is our couch challenge. 314-436-7900. If you have moved a couch more than 10 floors, or if you have more than three couches in one room, we would love to hear from you. Michael, when we come back, I want to hear your age. Your age. What is the oldest you can be and still ask friends to help you move?
Okay.
When we come back. He's Michael Kelly. I'm Amy Mark Scores. It's the Chris and Amy Show on KMOX. Michael Kelly, Amy Mark Scores with
Happy
you.
Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. We're just talking about moving. I asked Michael Kelly, what is the oldest age you can be to move and still
ask your friends?
Ask your friends to help you.
30.
Really?
Yeah.
I said 25.
Yeah, I guess that's it. It's about that time you transition in from being yourself to potentially being a family. Like, when my buddy calls me up and he's like, you know, and he just had his child, hey, can you help me move? No, man, you're grown up. But you got that 25, 27-year-old buddy that's still single? Yeah, I'll help him move.
So Pajeski here just turned 26, but technically he was 25.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And you did have buddies move. And I feel like that's okay.
Yeah.
That's okay.
That's cool.
But I think that'll probably be my last time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be another couple years before I move again, and I don't want to ask them again.
How did they feel about carrying three couches into the house?
Not fans.
Where they were like, what's up, Matt? Yeah. Why so many?
Don't worry. I bought them sandwiches afterwards to really make up for it.
From Jimothy and Jonathan's?
From Pretzels.
Pretzels.
Okay. Well, that's worth it.
Yeah.
That's worth it. Pretzels, deli.
Speaking of, I had
so good.
Gus's Pretzels yesterday. Yeah. Have you ever had those? Gus's Pretzels from down next to the brewery?
Yeah. I got those. We had those on my birthday. Remember when you and John Hancock broadcasted live from Forest Park?
We had my Gus's sister pretzels. Brought them in for my birthday yesterday. I mean, it reminded me of, I don't know that, Matt, you may not remember this. Amy, hopefully you do. They used to sell those like they would sell newspapers on a street. So you could drive down the street.
Aww. Jameson, I thought.
And there would be people selling Gus's Pretzels like you would buy a newspaper.
I love that.
Can't do that anymore.
I love that. Okay, we have on our text line again, 314-436-7900. I asked our couch challenge. If you have moved a couch more than 10th floor, which, by the way, you know the way they have the staircases, they turn.
Uh-huh.
So really, it's like 20 little staircases versus
halfway,
10.
Halfway, and then you got to make the turn.
Pivot,
and,
yeah. Oh, boy. So it was really 20 sets of stairs. Gregory did that for his mom. From a 636, have not moved a couch 10 floors. However, on the third story, these people wanted their entire gym on the third story. Who does that?
Ooh. Ooh. And then you're carrying the 50-pound plates, and you got to carry them individually.
Yeah.
And by the way, none of the workout equipment's like easy to carry. It's always awkward shaped.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, that's our couch challenge, 314-436-7900.
I threw a couch off of a third story before. Well, I was helping some guys move out of a place in Soulard, and they had a couch that did not deserve to exist anymore. They were a bunch of single men. And we were like, listen, we're going to have to carry this down. And then we finally realized, well, we can put it out on the back of the roof. And we'll make sure nobody's behind us because it was an old house and we dropped it down there and boom.
How did it work? How did it land?
It disintegrated.
Did it?
And probably diseases and stuff went into the air.
Oh, gross.
Because like I said, you know, couches after a certain age, they need to go away.
Yeah. No, I 100% agree. They're gross. Okay, Michael, this is a story that I saw yesterday. A UCLA grad, after he graduated, right, and you have your diploma and you go through the graduation, he, quote, brazenly showed off his ChatGPT that did his assignments for him. So everybody's been talking about ChatGPT and AI and how kids are using it in high school, obviously, definitely in college. Kids are showing up to Ivy League schools. The Atlantic did a story on kids showing up to Ivy League schools who have never read an entire book.
Oh.
And they were complaining to the professors, I can't read this entire book. You know, this, I don't have the time for this. This is, I can't process it. So this happened on UCLA's live stream at the Pauley Pavilion earlier this month. And the footage shows an undergrad holding up his laptop. There's a video of it and picture, proudly scrolling through the evidence of his so-called high-tech homework as the rest of the graduating class, like, you know, you throw your hats up right in the air and you're cheering. He mouths, "Let's go." And you can see the ChatGPT prompts for all of his assignments. And people are freaking out online, like how this is terrible. You should take his degree from him. And I'm just saying, he said the quiet part out loud because so many kids are using AI for their homework.
Yeah. Do you do any of this AI stuff?
I don't either. I still take my notes. Look at this notebook. If you're watching on the YouTube stream, I use the 5-star college ruled, wide ruled nonsense. No. Uh-uh. That's junk. Throw out the wide
rule. Keep it tight.
Keep it tight. That's right, Michael. The college ruled. That's what I use.
You do,
pen and paper.
And you're good at that. I guess I've Googled stuff, and it kind of does some type of AI summary. Most of the young folks that work with me do the AIs. So this is like a difference. What's surprising about the fact that college kids are going to utilize every tool that they have in front of them? How do we combat this? I don't know. One, I don't know how to use it. And two, it's the reality of life. Mm-hmm. I can't do near the math equations that I'm sure my parents could do prior to having all the calculators and stuff that we have.
I know people say, oh, this is the new world. If you have the tools at your disposal, why not use them? But I just think it's so myopic because brains are developing differently and you are creating a generation, or you're creating people who are utterly reliant on a screen in front of them. Yeah. They can't reason. They can't communicate. They can't summarize because they've had AI do this for them. And I'm so glad we have more and more studies coming out that show that when you are copying and pasting or typing in a prompt in ChatGPT, those synapses in your brain aren't firing as even handwriting. Handwriting information causes all these different parts of your brain to light up and to process and to remember. And we're going to create dumb robots.
Well, yes, and maybe not. I mean, I don't necessarily want to be the defender of all of this, but where we're at. I mean, it is the world that we live in. My parents, you know, the horse didn't like it when they invented the car.
Yeah.
Right? They played a huge role. Things change. And so I'm worried about the consequences of what AI and this ChatGPT is going to do to us. I'm worried about what it's going to do to our own brains. I've already been thinking that. When I go to a restaurant and look at anybody under the age of 8 years old, their parents are not having conversations with them. They got a screen in front of them, and I'm guilty of it too. I've been around little kids, and I think this is great. They're shut up. They're pointing. They're touching. They're swiping and they're scrolling. It's kind of the world we're in. I don't have a problem with the kids utilizing the stuff that was there. Maybe we need to find a better mousetrap in terms of education when we're dealing with them.
A 314 said it's only the boomers who complain because they had to schlep to the library a million times. But I'm a millennial, you know, and I guess being a millennial and being a teacher, teaching and tutoring Gen Z and Gen Alpha, I see a difference in their processing power. And these brains are becoming very dependent on technology.
Crazy question. Does the Dewey Decimal System still exist in most libraries now that we have computers that can tell you exactly where to go?
Absolutely.
Really? I've not been to a library to do anything other than to vote in 20 years. Seriously.
Well, thank you for voting. He's Michael Kelly. I'm Amy Mark Scores. Hey, next, Tim Mears, General Chairman of Celebrate St. Louis. It's back for July 3rd and 4th. It's the Chris and Amy Show on KMOX. A hero's program. Michael Kelly, Amy Mark Scores with you. We were just reminiscing about some of our favorite riverfront memories down by the arch. We brought up the McDonald's boat.
Right.
The riverboat McDonald's. Man, that was magical.
It was so, what a treat to get to go to the McDonald's. You had to wait in line, and then it was right next door to, what is it, the Tom Sawyer and the Becky Thatcher, the riverboats that would run up and down the river.
Man, that was so much fun. And then I was in the early 2000s, I think that's when it was, we would go to the concerts, the Live on the Levee. Well, another staple of St. Louis and celebrations is returning for 2 days of live music, family fun, and fireworks, and that is Celebrate St. Louis. It was back downtown at the Arch last year for one night, but it is two nights this year, July 3rd and July 4th. And to talk more about this event is Tim Mears, General Chairman of Celebrate St. Louis. Tim, good to see you.
Good to see the both of you, and thank you so much for having me here today.
We're excited. So, Celebrate St. Louis, as we talked about earlier during the renovations to the Arch and the Arch grounds, it was in Forest Park last year, back downtown in St. Louis for one night, but this year, you're bumping it up to two
bumping
nights.
Bumping it to two, yes.
So what can people expect for July 3rd and July 4th?
Well, you know, this event's been going on for over 40 years, and so we've got a lot of tradition that we always want to incorporate what we're doing and then trying to innovate with new things as well. So, of course, we've got the iconic fireworks. We're top 10 in the nation for fireworks, so people should definitely need to know that. Both nights, 3rd and 4th fireworks, we've got great music to come down and see. We've got Russell Dickerson on the 3rd. He will be headlining that evening. We've got Gavin DeGraw that will be headlining on the 4th. We've got a bunch of other great bands that are coming in, some St. Louis favorites like The Stir, and we've got Steve Ewing from The Urge. Mm-hmm. He'll be bringing parts of his band and singing, and then we've got a staff favorite. We've got Dazed and Confused that'll be playing ahead of all of that. So great night for music and fireworks.
Okay, so what time does the music usually start? Is it going on all day? And where exactly are they performing, and how do I, where am I going to park? Yeah. Talk me through my day.
Yes, I will. I'll talk you through the day. So, parking. Let's talk about that. You know, the easiest way to park for this event is to come down like you're going to come to a Cardinals game. All the parking garages in and around Keener Plaza. You're just a block away from the Arch grounds and come on down. The stage is set up on Lenore K. Sullivan right in front of the archway. So you've got the grand staircase for seating, a little bit back on the Arch grounds, and then, of course, down on the street itself. The 2 days of music and festivals. But I got to tell you, there's something new this year that's really exciting that is the first time ever happening in St. Louis to this scale. And we've got a drone show happening the 4th, right ahead of the iconic fireworks. We're partnered with Warner Brothers Studios in its anticipation of the release of the Superman movie that comes out on July 11th.
So
we're probably going to see Superman fly in front of the Arch right over the riverfront while we're down there.
Is that why the Superman on his Twitter like a month ago tweeted out Superman and the Arch in the background, and everybody was like, why is Superman
James
talking
Gunn
about St. Louis?
Deal?
Absolutely. The hometown director is going to be here displaying, just, you know, giving a little teaser here.
That's awesome.
That's
okay,
cool.
How
the drone shows are awesome.
I've never been. How long is a drone show? Is it like a fireworks show?
So it's going to be probably the 10 to 15 minute range, right? And so our goal is to have the drone show and then roll right into fireworks directly one right after another.
That is awesome. I've only seen videos of drone shows, and to be completely honest, the first few that I saw online, I thought it was AI because it didn't make sense to me how they work.
There's so much cool things they can do with it, and it's fun to even watch how they take off and stuff. Crazy, weird question.
Sure.
I know that you're not allowed to fly an airplane through the Arch.
Yes.
Probably can't fly the drones through the Arch either.
There are
this has come up, huh?
Yes, it's some significant restrictions about getting across that federal property and underneath the Arch. So we've got to stay way away. That's why it'll be over on the riverfront.
Okay, wait. Did I make it up that they did fly a plane through the Arch before?
Well, you go to jail for it.
Yeah.
The feds come after you.
I mean, it has been done.
Has it been done?
Uh-huh.
Officially?
Yeah.
Or unofficially?
Not by us.
But they're dead serious.
Tim did it.
Yeah. But that's cool. So the drones will be out over the river, nowhere near the Arch because of that same law.
That's
great.
Exactly right.
Awesome. So the fireworks, we talked about the live music. Are there going to be like booths on the ground?
Yes.
Let me talk through that
a little bit. We've got the St. Louis, Missouri Tourism Department has sponsored a family fun zone that will be up on the Arch ground. So the south leg of the Arch, there's the part they call a teardrop, grassy area. So we're going to have the kids zone there that's going to have a lot of great activities for families and kids to do. And co-located with that, we're going to have hands-on with heroes. So we've got 3 veteran initiatives happening this year. That's one of them where we're going to have a lot of non-for-profits that really help our veterans here in St. Louis. And they're going to be doing a lot of hands-on activities to kind of demonstrate what they do for veterans and get some information out to the public that might be interested. On the 3rd, we're doing a veterans recognition event. It'll have a stage presentation and then a really nice VIP experience for 10 veterans here in St. Louis. They're thriving in what they do and really giving back and having a high impact to St. Louis. So we're going to recognize those 10 folks. And then on the 4th, we have our traditional Salute to the Troop event where we're bringing in lots of great veterans. And that's hosted by Grunt Style and Irreverent Warrior, both nonprofits here in St. Louis that are doing great things and they're headquartered here.
Awesome.
Yeah.
With the with the music that you talked about, the live music,
yes.
What do you guys do during the drone show and the fireworks?
So you're going to have music that mm-hmm. will be playing that's choreographed with both of those shows.
Nice.
And then during the drone show, I know they're going to be playing parts of the Superman trailer and some other imagery on the LED screens to the left and right of the stage.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. So
then we can't talk. We got to not miss out on that. There's great food down there this year that you want to make sure to come down and check out. Local, we've really kind of expanded our local flair. And so Steve's Hot Dogs is going to be providing a whole lot of their flair. And then Sugar Fire is down there as well.
A lot of parents will take the kids during the daytime. They want to stay for the fireworks and maybe they can't stay, but they want to drive back to see it. Do you have a rough time every evening the fireworks will start so that people can be in place?
So about 9:40 is our projected time for the fireworks to shoot off. And you can anticipate that drone show on the 4th just right ahead of that. So back the time up to about 9:30, 9:20 time period.
That's right. So the drone show is just on the 4th, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
But fireworks?
Both nights. Around 9:40.
Got it. And so for more information, if people are listening and just want to look at the details themselves, CelebrateSaintLouis.org. And Saint is spelled out. Celebrate, S-A-I-N-T, Louis.org. You can follow Celebrate St. Louis on Facebook or Instagram at Celebrate St. Louis. They'll have regular updates there on social media, and probably goes without saying, but you don't need to buy tickets or anything, right?
I do should mention that. This is free. We have really had a mandate to keep this free to the public, and we're continuing to do that. It is free to come down. It's not free to produce, so we really rely on our corporate sponsorship and private donations. And when you come down, grab a beer or two and a hot dog, and that helps out.
And it's going to be easy, right? If you got cash, they'll take cash. If you need a credit card, you got it that way.
We've got you taken care of either way.
Excellent. I guess I should ask, if families have coolers or anything, is this a no cooler event?
So I will put it to you like this. The arch grounds themselves is public area, so you can bring down what you want in that arena within reason. Once you get down on Lenore K. Sullivan, it is have a gated area there, and at that point we do restrict bringing in coolers and big umbrellas and those kind of things.
Gotcha.
Just because it's such a tight space.
Sure.
How many volunteers and staff does it take to put this on? I know you guys have been jumbled going back and forth between the park the last several years, but it probably takes an army.
It does. So we've already started planning for 26. That's already on its way, and it'll really kick off in a huge degree right after the 4th. Our first meeting is like the 8th or something like that. So there's about 20 of us that do this throughout the year, all volunteer. We have two people that are paid staff. The rest are all volunteers that work on the planning process. And then it takes about 100 volunteers or more during day of to get all this accomplished.
Great work.
Yeah.
Great work.
It's fun.
How did Celebrate St. Louis become one of the top 4th of July celebrations in the country? What kicked it off?
Well, it got kicked off in the very early 80s when a whole group of people said, you know what, we want to do something fun for the city. And they wrangled a lot of things together to get that first one pulled off. And I think from there, it just built a lot of steam. Mm-hmm. To have a large fireworks show, you have to have the space to do it that's safe. And we have that here in St. Louis with the riverfront. And that really aids in our ability to shoot a big fireworks show, big artillery shells high in the air. And that really helps. And it just, St. Louis embraced it, and we just keep building on it.
It costs some change to throw those fireworks up in the air, too. Thankfully, the corporate folks step up, right?
That's exactly right. Yeah, you just don't go to Molly Brown and go pick those up.
I was going to say, do they go to Molly Brown's and be like, yes, I'd like a billion fireworks, please?
No, we use a great company that comes in. They do national shows all over the place. They make the fireworks here in the United States, and there's a lot of great families who build fireworks. There's a whole lot of history behind that piece, and it's a lot of fun to put it together.
Was it Celebrate St. Louis? Was that the famous Elton John story? Do you know this story,
Michael?
Yeah,
he came walking in his police outfit.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, to get through the crowd, he
VP
dressed
Fair,
up.
What is what they called it back then,
Fair,
right?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, and he dressed him up, or he dressed up as a police officer, walked through the crowd, and then performed?
Yes.
That's insane.
It is insane. It's a great story. I always hear about that one, for sure.
Who were some of the other
Bill Cosby,
big names?
Yep. Frank Sinatra.
Frank Sinatra was
had
there?
Had been under the... Yeah, when he,
we had Dolly Parton.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Gavin DeGraw.
We should get Dolly Parton again. I don't think there's anything more American than Dolly Parton.
Is Dolly still moving around? Like,
yeah.
Is she still
showing
public? Yeah, I thought she just stayed down there in her world.
Dolly Land?
Dolly World.
Dollywood.
Yeah. Dollywood.
Well, we'll have to reach out
ageless.
Maybe that'll
that
be
lady.
Another campaign of mine. I've got several campaigns for St. Louis. One will be Bring Back Dolly.
Bring Back Dolly.
And okay. then the other one is I want that Riverboat McDonald's back.
Okay.
Tim, what can you do about that?
We'll work on that. We'll find out where it's at and see if we can bring it out of the mothballs.
Program the drones. We'll put a sign up on the drones this week. We'll hack into their drones. Bring back Mac on the boat.
Surrender Dorothy. Well, that would be fun. There are just so many great memories downtown.
Make some new ones this year.
Celebrate St. Louis. Right. Absolutely. So celebrate St. Louis July 3rd and 4th. Fireworks on the 3rd and the 4th. The 4th will also be the combo of the special drone show.
Yes.
Superman shout out in the drone show with the fireworks. Michael, you know who Gavin DeGraw is. You know that song, I don't want to be anything other than what I've been. That's
him. Good. Well, that's going to be fun. Stir's going to be there.
Tim is absolutely certain we just lost people as I sang that. Tim's like, stop. We want this event to be a success.
I don't want to be anything.
That's him.
Yeah, maybe we'll play it on the way to the break.
There we go.
Oh, maybe we could if we give Matt some time to find it. But Tim, this is awesome. Love the work that they're doing at Celebrate St. Louis. Anything else that people need to know if they're thinking about coming down or that you just want the listeners to know?
Well, I would say, you know, if you haven't been down for a while or you haven't started this tradition with your children, bring them down this year. Give them that experience that we all had growing up in St. Louis. Come down. It's going to be a great event, and we really look forward to seeing families and having a great night.
Well, people, a lot of listeners have spent time at Celebrate St. Louis over the years. We did have a 636 say Billy Joel played one year at the fair. Yeah. And Michael, an update from a 314. Dolly is in Las Vegas right now.
Is she?
She is.
Hey, now.
All right. We're going to get that Bring Back Dolly campaign. Tim Mears, thank you so much for your time today. He's the general chairman of Celebrate St. Louis. Celebrate St. Louis returning downtown July 3rd, July 4th. Tons of music, family fun, fireworks. Bring the whole crew. Thank you, Tim.
Yes, thank you very much.
He's Michael Kelly. I'm Amy Marks-Scores. It's the Chris and Amy Show on KMOX.
Now, a look back at this week's Chris and Amy Show. Out of context.
I've been eating a lot of meatballs lately.
I would not want a child to perform surgery on me. Let's just put it that way.
I do have a bow leg, but I'm pigeon-toed. I'm a real catch.
This is the only place I wear pants.
No, she knew I didn't soil myself, but it looked
like it. How do you know that?
If you've ever steamed cabbage...
Smells awful.
Not a great smell.
Order!
I'm sweating out the meatball spices. Okay. I smell like stinky meatballs.
Oh, how you doing, sir? Like, hey, just walking around the neighborhood. See any kids around here?
I have... Horrible,
gas.
Terrible.
Oh. What? Either get on board or get out the way because the nice package is coming.
I'm the victim here. No.
Are you sure you want Repsect? Like. I would say this: Amy has not shaved in a while. Clearly. What?
Out of context. That sounds horrible.
Oh my! Please inform me about all of this.
Well, Matt, how do you want me to do this?
Well, let me tell Michael Kelly what we do here.
Okay.
That's been this past week out of context. I'm going to now play some clips for Amy and you two.
Okay.
Amy needs to try to tell me what the original context was of these horrible remarks she's been making. So this is the first one.
No, she knew I didn't soil myself, but it looked like it.
How do you know that?
It looked like it. Well, this is a classic story. Michael, it was 105 degrees one year when I went to a baseball game.
Oh, my.
In 2017.
And soiled yourself.
Well, I wore khaki shorts.
Yeah.
Do you know what happens when you sweat in khaki?
Yeah, it looks like you're...
Shows up.
Mm-hmm.
Shows up. So I didn't realize just how bad I was sweating. And we went to go get a drink, like in the fifth inning, and I stand up, and this is what a stranger behind me says. She goes... Oh, honey. Because she thought...
Oh, that you had an accident.
Yeah.
Wow.
But I was just very sweaty, or I was just so sweaty that that she felt bad for me, but I threw those
Did you have
away.
Any idea what she was talking about when she said that to you?
At first I was like, what? And when I stood up and looked down at the front...
It was
bad.
Front and back?
Oh, Michael! Yeah. I was
and
schmitzing.
You probably didn't have anything to like tie around your waist, you know, because
it was 105. So I just had
degrees.
To own it, and I went home and threw the shorts away.
Got that context.
I'd like Michael to try and guess what the possible context for this was.
Ranji showing his legs. Huh? Was that what it was? Amy saw Ranji's legs for the first time.
You guys are talking about elk for some reason.
Yep.
You guys are imitating an elk mating
call.
Well,
goats.
Or goats, yes. Yeah.
Elks are massive.
Yeah, they
are. They killed one this week.
Yeah,
yeah, because he escaped from Grant's farm.
And that's why we were talking
about
it.
Somebody was streaming.
That's why we were talking about it. You did guess it. Nice work, Michael.
Amy, explain this.
I'm sweating out the meatball spices. Okay. I smell like stinky meatballs.
Ooh,
Michael, what happened is I discovered Trader Joe's chicken meatballs, and they're so good.
Uh-huh.
And I've been eating them every day. You know, protein, right? Everybody needs more protein.
Mm-hmm.
They're so good. And then I've been running, and it's been hot, and I'm like, why do I smell so bad? I think I'm sweating out the meatballs.
Is it garlic?
I think there's garlic in
it. Too much garlic?
Yeah. Yeah, there's some garlic and some spices, but I smell like stinky meatballs.
I wish you would have told me about this before we got here, because I was like, what is that smell?
I
had no idea it was you.
I hear you know. I smell like a meatball.
She microwaved them at 8 a.m. for breakfast of the day in the company office.
That's almost as bad as fish, isn't it?
Yeah, might be worse. All right, this one's from Ronji, but I'd like you guys to give some context to this.
Okay.
Get on board or get out the way, because the nice package is coming.
Is that related to his efforts to save the sheriff?
No.
But it's another one of his endeavors.
Run.
Oh, his nice package. Yeah, because we had that with you guys. He was talking about nice package.
His delivery service.
And then we got into it, and I was like, I don't think women want to see men's in tight shorts. They may want to see him with a shirt off, but the last thing they want to see him doing is
tight jean shorts, Dukes. Woof.
Yeah.
But that's what he is. He's got his new company, nice package delivery service.
Last one for Amy.
I do have bow legs, but I'm pigeon-toed. I'm a little catch. So we were talking about wearing shorts and why men shouldn't wear shorts. And I said, I think a lot of men are very bow-legged. And the only reason that I could say that without it being offensive is that I am bow-legged and I have pigeon toes. I mean...
Well, maybe you can explain to me, since we've run out of time, what bow-legged even means.
It's where your calves, like, do your knees, like, curve out.
Huh.
Yeah. Ugh. It's a little rough. Michael Kelly, thank you.
I'm so glad to have been with you.
For coming in clutch.
See ya.
That's Michael Kelly. I'm Amy Mark Scores. Chris Ronji is out. We wish him all the best. All the best with his moving. We've got the Gas House Gang next with Matt Pauly and Mike Claiborne. And then, as you all know, the fun at one. So... thank you for suffering with us. It's the Chris and Amy Show on KMOX.